Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Divination Radio. I hope everyone is having a good day or good evening. Today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. I know we've had one or two people who were Reiki practitioners in the past, but we never actually got into what is Reiki and what divination tools can be used to assist with Reiki practices, especially in terms of personal growth. So today I'm actually going to have one of my personal friends, Amy Ravinius. She certified me in first degree Reiki here in Okinawa, and she is a intuitive Reiki master, life coach, and spiritual advisor. And she's taught a bunch of Reiki workshops here in Okinawa, and she actually just recently graduated a new group of Reiki masters here on the island. So that is awesome. On the flip side, she is also an officer in the United States Marine Corps and a stay-at-home mom of two boys. So she kind of lives a little bit of a double life there. Her focus is supporting others in their personal path to healing and health through varied healing modalities and spiritual guidance. She works with her guides and the guides of her clients to promote healing and reconnect with the higher self, individual spirit, that may find their purpose and calling in this lifetime. So we're going to be discussing some of that as well. Basically, how do you get in contact with your guides? And we're going to be speaking in the context of Reiki, because depending on what you're practicing, what tradition you're working in, what path you're working in, sometimes different guides might show up. So we're going to be talking about it in terms of Reiki today and how she uses or works with her guides and the guides of her clients. And also to kind of talk about what is a higher self, because I know in some practices we do talk about something like that. So it might be a confusing, fuzzy place for some people. So we're going to ask Amy about that as well. But first, let me bring in my co-host. Michael, how are you on this delightful evening / day after April Fool's Day?
I am just simply marvelous. How are you?
I am great. I want to start off today's show with a joke that I read like 2 months ago, but like I still don't get it, and I want to see if you find it funny.
Okay.
Why did the cowboy get a wiener dog?
I don't know why.
Because he wanted to get a long little doggy. I still don't get it, but everyone I tell the joke to just bursts out, like starts laughing. So yeah, that is the joke of the day, everyone.
Well, you know, get a long little doggy is an old saying that the cowboys used to say.
Oh my gosh, I'm too Chinese for this.
Get along, little doggy.
I'm going to bring Amy in before we detour into Shenaniginsville. Hey, Amy, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me.
And thank you for being here. I think we're going to have a marvelous show today.
Absolutely. And Fiona, I understand you weren't a Chinese-American cowgirl, so there's no way you'd know how to talk to cattle. It's okay.
Is that what that is? Like, do you say that to cattle?
Yes, and they sing to them and lots of other things. But yeah, they call it's mostly the calves they call the little doggies.
But they're big. I don't know. I had Yorkies growing up, so I'm just like, when I read that joke, I was like, you know, I don't get it. Let me, like, show a bunch of people, and they all died laughing, and I was like, I'm totally missing something here. This is not funny to me. I don't know. One day I'll get it. I don't know. I'll go live with a cowboy for, like, a week, and maybe it'll be funny. So, how did you find your way to Reiki?
It was a very roundabout way and definitely not expected. I'd been in the Marine Corps 10 years, active duty as an officer, and, you know, a pretty hardcore person, definitely type A personality, no patience for laziness, no patience for attitudes, no patience for excuses. It was all about discipline, drive, and not paying attention to any personal feelings about things, not paying any attention to what my intuition or my heart or my body would tell me. You learn to ignore all of that stuff. So This was not a route that I would have chosen for myself. It's completely counter. But about that time, I got pregnant. Now, I know how this works biologically. I know how one gets pregnant, but I had not been using birth control for about 7 or 8 years. So this was a shock to me. And it wasn't in my plans, and it really kind of screwed things up, and I wasn't at all a motherly type. The only thing I nurtured were my dogs. My husband had no hope of any support, kindness, and nurturing. So I had a lot of personal self-work to do, and a very good friend of mine was seeing a woman who at that time was a Reiki practitioner and life coach, and I asked her about her. And this is a woman back in Virginia Beach, and she still has a Reiki Wellness and Meditation Center, which she teaches. But I love you too, Aiden. I apologize.
That's okay.
My boy. I started seeing her about once a week. And the first time I went in, she sat me down. We talked a little bit. She was there for me. Like,
oh, Amy, you're cutting out a tad bit.
Okay. Please let me know so I can repeat myself if necessary.
So, do you hear Michael, or is it just my headphones?
Nope, I hear like crackling.
Yeah, it sounds like crackling or clicking on your end.
If I do, I can hang the dial back in.
Absolutely.
I have two boys also on the internet. Is it clicking still there?
Yeah, the clicking is still there. That might be what it is. Little bit of lag or technical difficulty.
If I don't let them be on the internet, they'll be in my face and on your show.
Okay. That's fine.
So I went to her. She asked me what I was there for, and honestly, I didn't know. But we talked a little bit, and she said, I'll put you on the table today. Well, I'd never heard of Reiki. I didn't know what she was doing, and she didn't tell me what she was doing. But after I laid on that table, she gave me some visualizations. She moved around my body a few times, and I felt so good, so relaxed for being a stiff, uptight, hardcore type A personality, that I decided I was going to do that weekly. And that's how I was initially introduced to Reiki, not even knowing what it was, but appreciating the way I felt after sessions with her.
Now, what did it feel like for you? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, a Reiki healing session probably feels different for some people. Like, for some people, it might even be, you know, tingly, or for some people, relaxing. What did it feel like to you?
No, you're absolutely correct, Fiona. When I first started, I was not enough aware of and the way my body reacts to stuff.
Or clicking a little bit.
Crap. Is this any better? Here, let me see.
Yeah, a little bit.
Closer. Okay.
Sit right next to your router.
Yeah, I am. So I didn't notice anything the first time. Honestly, I didn't feel anything with a Reiki session the first time, except to be completely relaxed when I was done. So a Reiki session for someone who's not in touch with the way they feel or how people affect them or their emotions, they may not understand what's going on. They may not really feel anything except being able to just take time to allow themselves to relax for a little bit. Reiki's that gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When, as time went on, I began to feel more with an energy shift. And being given vision really helped so that I felt energy flowing through my body and energy settling me down. But it was not anything for a long time that truly made a difference in me physically that I personally was aware of. It took years.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's probably with any healing, physical, spiritual, mental healing, it is something that does. It's not like, you know, oh, I had one Reiki session, you know, I'm all better. Everything is gradual. Everything takes time. And I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical about Reiki when I first heard about it in the Western context, because for me, I like to stay a little bit further away from a lot of the more, I don't know what to call it, the New Age stuff. And for me, I was just like, oh, it sounds really New Age. So I was like, but, you know, I like to keep an open mind. I like to experience something before I judge it. And I think the first time I had a Reiki session with you, it was very, you know, I don't know what she's doing. You know, I was a little bit more walls up. But then by my second Reiki session, I remember you had somehow put me to sleep within like 5 minutes. And I was just in this dead sleep with all this lucid dreaming. And it was insane. Like, usually I can't achieve something like that unless I'm consciously telling myself, okay, I'm going to do dream work in my sleep, and we'll get to that in another show, dream work, great stuff, or I'm going to put some flying ointment on, and I'm going to, you know, do something, and
you go.
So it was great stuff. So how has Reiki, I guess, Michael, I'm sorry, Michael, do you have any questions? I'm taking over the show again.
That's okay. You know, I'm used to that. But no, I mean, I don't really have too many questions. I mean, my first Reiki experience was actually not being on a table. It was actually just joining a basic class on Reiki, in which literally the 10 people that were there all went into the kitchen. Somebody laid on the table and they did actually long distance Reiki from the kitchen without actually touching me. And literally I fell asleep. I was drooling, and I actually felt them. I actually felt them actually spiritually moving my body, my spiritual body, in different positions, and actually flipping me over without anybody touching me as they were in a different room. I mean, it was so gentle, but yet it was so incredibly moving that, you know, this group of people could actually feel like they were physically actually hands-on touching from a distance. And now, it was just incredible for me. Yes.
Michael, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When I say being aware of yourself, of what feels like you, of what doesn't feel like you, of your emotions, of the things around you, that's huge. You were able to be aware of all of the things they were doing, because that's been part of your life for a long time.
Yes. You know, and it was just the flipping me over, that kind of weirded me out, but at the same time, I was just like, wow, I really felt like somebody rolled me over so they could work on, you know, the backside. And I was just like, and of course, you know, they came back, and when they actually woke me up, you know, drool hanging off my mouth, and I was just like, yeah, I don't ever sleep that deep.
Yeah, Fiona was snoring.
Yeah,
I was,
and like,
too.
I'm usually very like, it's a little bit different being physically aware and spiritually aware. I'm very physically aware of my surroundings. Like, if something's moving, I mean, I have cats. I have to be physically aware of my surroundings, or otherwise they will murder me in my sleep. So, yeah. So the fact that I was able to let my guard down and let my body completely just shut down in the presence of another human being, it was huge. And that's what basically sealed the deal for Reiki for me. Because, I mean, Michael, you and I are practitioners that are used to working with, you know, spirits of the dead and, like, you know, doing, you know, sticking pins and needles and stuff. Like, That's the stuff we're used to.
Yeah, we're not used to the soft, gentle flow. We're more like the volcano.
You know, so we're more about
You know, so it takes a little while to, you know, change your perception and allow soft energies to come in when you're not used to it. But it's such a powerful experience, you know, with something that can be that non-evasive and that gentle that, I mean, it literally just blows you away.
Yeah. It was like, wow, this is real. Like, this is a thing. That's, like, in my mind, it was just like, oh, soft, gentle touch. It just sounds like hogwash to me. But, you know, let me try to know. Like, I legitimately had an experience, and I usually, unless I'm aggressively doing something, because that's my style, I'm pretty aggressive. I like, you know, magic, blah, 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 all aggressive. So it was like, wow.
Well, it was a blessing of an experience for me because, honestly, Fiona, I was a little nervous when we did your Reiki sessions. I was truly hoping that you would get something beneficial out of it, and I'm glad to know that you did.
There's someone in the chat room asking, where do you go to study Reiki? So I'm going to ask you two questions here. First of all, where can you study Reiki in general? And then the second question would be, how do you feel about online Reiki attunements? And can you explain Reiki attunements? So
yeah,
a bunch of
questions. In answer to the first question, there are lots of options depending on where you live. You can find practitioners online through Reiki.org, and that's in the States. There's also the International Association of Reiki Practitioners. I'm members of both of these, and they have a list of practitioners around the world that you can look for that teach, that not only do Reiki, but they teach. And these people have to have a Level 3 Master Teacher certification, having been taught how to provide attunements for their students and to teach the attunements to the students so that they can also be Reiki practitioners. And they desire to follow the course all the way to level of master teacher. Now, to answer your question as far as distant attunements, I do believe in distant attunements. I do believe they are as powerful. I myself don't really want to do that because I like having the personal contact with my students. I like getting to know my students. I like them to be able to feel my energy and me to be able to feel their energy. This one-to-one connection is really important to me because what I'm sharing with people is so much a part of who I am and what I want to be and what I want to share with the world that I don't have a calling to provide distant Reiki attunements. I could, and if somebody really, really wanted it, and I had known the person for a while, I would, but it is not my preference. Now, the Reiki attunement, everybody still there? You can hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We're just intrigued.
Now, the Reiki attunement is simply a process of connecting this energy as the teacher. And there are a set of symbols that have an intent, a purpose, and a meaning behind them. And they're all Japanese symbols, and they're utilized to open an energetic channel in the person receiving the attunement and making it a wide open receiving energetic flow of this Reiki energy every time that they connect with it. Now, everybody's open to energy. Everybody can share, channel, receive, and send energy. This is just a specific energy for which these people are attuned for, the Reiki practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, symbols are all about the intent behind them. You can use anything, and once you begin to use it and you apply an assignment of an intent or a meaning or a purpose to any symbol, that symbol becomes that intent, that purpose, that meaning. So way back when all of the Reiki started, which actually was before the guy that we often refer to, Mikao Usui, Dr. Mikao Usui. Reiki was around before that. He just came up with a different method, but he didn't even use these symbols. These symbols came about later in time and helped make it easier to attune students and to teach them Reiki and to teach them the intent and teach them how to make it theirs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Quick answer.
That is awesome. Michael, I'm sorry. Did you have anything to... Before I butt in, my big butt.
No. I'm enjoying because I learn more and more every time we have a show. So it's actually nice sometimes to sit back and listen and absorb.
Mm-hmm. Somebody in the chat room asked, hands-on or hands-off when performing Reiki. So how do you go about tackling that?
That's really up to the client. Some people mm-hmm. don't like to be touched. And it's really important not to make them uncomfortable. It's critical. If they're uncomfortable, they're going to block the energy you're trying to share with them. Mm-hmm. And it won't flow and it won't suit its purpose. I like touch because you think about any mother and their child, whether it's animal, human, whatever. When the child is hurt or upset, just a gentle touch makes them feel so much better. And Reiki is all about connecting with love, unconditional acceptance, opening the heart, opening this energetic channel, and sharing with the idea of love, of working and supporting that person's highest purpose, highest good in their healing. It's not about your intent. It's about what's best for them. So you need them to either be okay with touch and appreciate it, or give them their space, and you can be just as effective by not touching, just sending the healing up here, you know, a space above their body. It's not required. It's just my mm-hmm. personal preference that I like to touch because I'm kind of that huggy, touchy-feely person when I'm in that space.
Oh, I know.
Reiki.
I'm the same way. You know, I'm the same way. I mean, I prefer hands-on myself because it's very important. You know, even for some of the clients that I've worked with that don't particularly care to be touched, you know, there's power just in touch alone. People need that physical contact. They need, you know, just like being in nursing homes, you know, elderly people, they need that gentle touch. They need that sense of somebody actually caring. So for me, it's all, you know, whether they like it or don't like it, for me, it's always my hands are on. You know,
well,
that's just the way that, you know, that's just the way that I am, you know, and my clients, they all understand that, you know, this is what's going to take place and they know ahead of time.
Yeah. So those mm-hmm. are the kind of clients you will bring in.
See, for me, I'm not a touchy person. We actually just discussed this on one of the tarot forums. I was beaten as a child, which is why I have such a hard time dealing with people touching me. It makes me like, get out of my personal space. Like, I have my physical boundaries. So when I do Reiki sessions, which I don't do often, unless it's with like animals or, you know, someone I know really well that I'm practicing on, I actually prefer doing the, you know, hovering over their body method. And I actually feel like doing a Reiki session helps me feel more comfortable with another person because, you know, for a couple of sessions I might be hovering over them and then, you know, and it might help them feel more comfortable with me. We did several sessions where, you know, hovering over the body and then, you know, next session, now we have physical contact. I feel like, you know, for me there's a buildup. And I am going to cut to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about... Someone was asking about chakras, you know, let's talk chakras because that is so misunderstood in the world. We'll talk about incorporating, I know you use pendulums, tarot, you also use crystals in your sessions. So we'll talk about incorporating those things. Let's see, what are we going to listen to? I'm feeling we're going to listen to this.
Again, right as supernatural world denied.
dancing in the moonlight. Funny side story. My son, actually, my 2-year-old son, he just discovered the moon. I was taking him to, I had this hankering for Taco Bell at like, I don't know, 8:30 and at night. And I was like, I need Taco Bell. I need a quesadilla right now. So I took my son and I was like, we're going to Taco Bell right now. And he looks up and he just sees, I mean, we're almost at the full moon. So the moon's pretty bright and out there. And he just gets on his tippy toes and tries to reach for the moon and goes, oh, and I thought it was so adorable. So my little werewolf has discovered the moon. But let's get to the good stuff. If you are looking to get a reading, the guest call-in number is 646-595-4345. Press 1 to join us. And in about half an hour, we're going to start taking callers for readings. First come, first serve. We still have a lot of open space for readings. So if you want one, hop on in. So let's talk about chakras. What the heck are chakras?
Well, the basic ones are there are 7 of them in your body, and they're energy centers. And they have a lot to do with how you feel, with how you are physically, with how your body processes things, whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, energetically. And it's very important that they are functioning in a healthy manner for you to be in your optimal health. That's a start.
Physical health or spiritual health, all of the above?
All of the above.
Okay.
Each one, it's kind of like filling up a cup. So when one cup's full, it cascades over into the other. Like, if you say, I used to think about when I was doing Reiki, and I would have the energy come in, it'd come into my crown chakra, and it'd fill up that cup, and then it would cascade over and drop down into my brow chakra and fill up, cascade over and drop down into my throat chakra and work its way all the way down, filling them energetically. And they all affect one another in similar ways, and they affect the layers of your aura in similar ways, and they affect the layers of your energy, whether it is the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual.
Yeah, so it's kind of like tuning points.
Yeah.
Good way to say that.
So, does Reiki work with them and or fix them? Someone in our chat room is asking.
Reiki is a supportive tool for their health. Chakras can be overloaded and kind of blocked, so they're sluggish or they're not operating, spinning in the best speed that is for that particular person. And the Reiki energy will come in and helps the person clear out anything that's slowing that down. Kind of thinking like a river that has a lot of leaves in it, and you know you've got the flow of the water, and it gets clogged and slowed down. So it's like
I was thinking gastric bypass.
Oh, nice. No. So you just think of a new flow of water coming in and flooding, you know, pushing away all of that's got it clogged and letting it flow freely. Something like that. I've used a similar visualization when helping people whose energy centers, their chakras, are sluggish and blocked or clogged. I've also used Reiki. Now, understand that when using Reiki, it isn't about what you want for the person. You
right.
must let go of your ego. You are not healing the person. And I can't stress enough that it's about being open, allowing yourself as a channel to bring the energy through you, flowing through you to the person to support what they need, what is for their highest good, for their healing, or in some cases, it isn't about the healing. It's about coming to terms with what they're dealing with, being able to process what they're dealing with, and figuring out how to continue on the path that they're on without falling apart. So I think I lost my train of thought. So the Reiki, it's about sending the Reiki to that person and it doing what that person needs, not telling it what to do. In the chakras, in the energy center. So sometimes people have chakras that are overactive and they're spinning wildly out of control. And the idea is to send Reiki energy to help it balance and slow down and come in sync in alignment with that person.
Now, do you have any, someone is asking, do you have any literature or books that you recommend about learning the chakras? Anything that you've read that you've liked?
I bought a book on the chakra workbook, and it's really kind of neat. It breaks each one down, and it tells you about the chakras. It tells you about the color. It tells you about the sounds. If it's a B, a C, whichever it is on the scale that for that particular chakra. It gives you information on foods that are healthy for it, how you want it to be, what you can expect. Experience with an overactive or underactive chakra, and it gives you some exercises to help you bring your chakras into balance. I really enjoyed that. I believe that was by Anna Voigt. And then there's another book that's just basically about chakras in general, and you can go online and you can order workbooks, different kinds of workbooks or CDs that can support learning about and balancing your chakras.
I don't have time to sit down and read a book, me personally. What I did to learn the chakras was I listened to chakra meditations. I'm actually trying to find whatever it's called right now. I know I have it in, I don't know.
I love meditations for chakras. Absolutely mm-hmm. love them. I think Kelly Howell may have some, but it's really best to go online, get some snippets and tidbits and listen to them because not everybody's voice and not everybody's music is going to appeal to you. So it isn't a good mm-hmm. idea for me to really recommend anyone on that. People need to find something that sits well with them.
I use Greg DeVries. I can't pronounce his last name. V-R-I-E-S. And he's the meditation coach guide, and he has a CD the cover looks like someone sitting down in legs crossed. I don't know what that pose is called because I don't do yoga. And it shows an image of all the chakras, and he has a meditation for each chakra and an introduction. I'm not really picky about the person's voice. Like, people have told me that he sounds like he has like a really kind of like deep voice, and some people are like, oh, that's kind of creepy. But for me, it's very calming. So that's how I learned the chakras, because he'll tell you, like, breathe into your root chakra. He'll tell you where it is, and he'll be like, you know, envision this particular color. So for me, hearing it in a meditation and doing a meditation with it is more hands-on than reading a book. So might want to try doing something like that if you can't find a book out there. Reading something out of a book is very, I don't know how to describe it. It's like going to school, but then, like, you know, you have all the facts, you have all the information, but then application is completely different. And it's always good to have a balance of both in my eyes, but I am very much a, like I can't cook. I can't watch the cooking channel. I just have to screw up cooking like 10 times before I get it right.
I personally prefer the guided meditations myself, because it's much easier for me to just follow somebody's voice describing mm-hmm. than it is for me to read the book, go back, look at it again, go, okay, what am I missing? Am I doing this correct? You know, and also, you know, being a, you know, certified hypnotist, you know, I love guided meditations because it just makes things so much easier to just be able to sit back and, for me, not be in control and just allow it to be somebody else taking that, you know, to flow me through.
No, Amy,
I agree.
Oops, sorry. Continue.
No, that's right. I was just saying, I agree. I will take a Reiki-supported guided meditation any day to learn about something over having to read it in a book. Anyway.
It's also much more personal when you do a meditation. But speaking of meditation, let's talk about finding your guides and the guides of your clients. Now, what do you mean when you talk about guides? Because, and I want my audience to kind of remember. Yes, we've talked about guides in Vodou. We've talked about it in, you know, ancestor guides. We've talked about so many different guides. We're going to be talking about guides today in terms of Reiki guides. So can you explain that a little bit, Amy?
Sure. When you start talking about the different guides, I'm thinking of all the ones that support me, too. Because mm-hmm. when starting Reiki, and I was went to level two, I was introduced to my Reiki Master Guide. And this is a particular guide that is connected with you that supports, helps, and provides energy to your healings. And sometimes there are things that you're not focused on in a Reiki session. I've done a session and had my guides with me, and my master guide is working on a particular area when I'm working on a different area. Now, understand that I don't see things like, I'm not one of those that I can look in the room and I see a shadowy figure and, oh, I've got visitors. I'm someone that, as I close my eyes, I was told all my life it was my imagination. But in my mind is everything that I create and work with, and it's everything that gives me the supportive energy. So my guides come in during my sessions, and they are specific for Reiki. And they are gentle, loving, energetic beings.
So are they, do you have names for them, I guess, or do you just kind of acknowledge their presence? Are they human? Are they supernatural, as in, like, never lived a human life? Are they just spirits? Are they, you know, elevated spirits, animals, et cetera?
Well, I have animal spirits that come and support, too, just because I'm so connected to animals. I believe from my experience, they present themselves to me in an image that I can connect with. So whether they were human or not, I haven't asked. They do provide mm-hmm. a human form for me because I'm comfortable with that, but they don't provide... But there aren't faces. I haven't looked at for to make out faces. I appreciate their energy. And it's usually the form of a being in a cloak, a hooded cloak. And I see what looks like hands. And I feel their shapes around the table when I'm working. But I haven't sat for a long time in meditation just specifically to communicate with them. I always mm-hmm. ask them to join me. I thank each one of them for coming in for the healing. We work together, and afterwards, I thank them for their presence and their support. The only one I have a name for is my master guide, and I refer to my master guide as Ra.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So,
nice.
Do you have a question, Michael? Sorry.
Well, when you're doing your Reiki sessions, do you also pick up spiritual messages for your clients?
Most of my stuff comes through in symbols. I don't get straight out messages. So I've done a session where a client's passed over family member has been there watching over them. And, I don't necessarily know exactly who it is. I have to ask questions to be able to give this person information. But as an example, I have said, okay, this particular energy was in your session. It felt like a grandmotherly presence, felt very matronly, very protective, was standing on the side, looked like this, was standing in this position, and just wanted to make sure I wasn't doing anything that was going to bring any harm to you, so they're always watching over you and with you. It was that person's grandmother. It took a while for me to get that information, but, you know, it was something that I was able to share with them. I've also had sessions where an animal will come in and make themselves comfortable with the person. And I can share that with the person and say, listen, this animal may refer to this energetically, but I encourage you to go and spend some time in meditation getting to know this animal, connecting with this animal, see what kind of energy it brings into your life and what it has for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Okay.
You know, I ask many times when I've done Reiki, you know, sessions, because I'm also... you know, clairsentient, and I feel things, and I'm an empath, you know, it kind of blends in, you know, while I do Reiki, that I'm also reading energy of the client and picking things up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I still utilize other tools to get more information. I've been doing this for about 8 years, but the first 4 or 5 years I was still very involved in a full-time job elsewhere. And it's over the last year and a half that I've had the opportunity to truly begin to do this on a more regular basis and connect and become more clear with my symbols and more clear with my information and pull in other modalities of support and tools, such as sometimes bringing in tarot cards, sometimes using a pendulum, sitting in meditation prior. I will sometimes do energy readings with a rose so I can kind of get an idea of how the person's doing, where they are, and what's going on.
Nice.
So how do you incorporate your tarot into Reiki?
Two different ways. Well, three. One, if I have a client coming and I want to get an idea of what to expect and to support them with, I'll pull a couple of cards on what their guides want me to know. Where should I focus? You know, is there something specific going on in their life that really kind of stressed out? Is there an area that I should support energetically that they may not be aware of? Now, that said, I know, referring back, it's not about my ego. It's not about what I'm fixing. But it is about the intent. So having that information out of the energy to that particular area that they may not be thinking about. During a session, a person may have a question, and can use the cards to get a little more clarity or a little more information.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry. Okay, so during a session, a client may ask a question, and I can pull a couple of cards just to get some clarifying information on the question they may have, such as, I've had this issue going on in my stomach, and I'm not really sure what's going on. And an example may come up where I pull a couple of cards to indicate stuff at work and conflict, and I say, okay, is this going on? Then let's kind of focus, provide support to the situation and helping remove some of this this icky energy, this yucky feeling in your stomach, and give them some visualizations. Mm-hmm. So then the follow-up is, I want a little more clarity on how the session went, and I didn't get a whole lot of feedback on the client because of time, then I'll ask, did the person get what they needed? Is there something else I can send with them in distance Reiki that will help for the future or now? So that's one way to apply tarot and Reiki.
Awesome.
Nice.
Let's talk crystals now, because I know that is something people are a little antsy to know. How are crystals incorporated into your practice, and how do you decide which crystal?
I don't have set rules, except one particular crystal I will typically use on the floor under the table. It's a very large quartz point. A friend bought it for me, and it's a very special crystal to me. And that particular point is so powerful that it is a great neutralizing and energetic supporting stone. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's a lot about what feels right and intuition. So everything vibrates at a certain level, depending on its color, depending on its density. The chakras, they have colors because of their vibration. The stones have colors with their vibration. So sometimes, just to make things easy for me, if I'm not getting a lot, I will line up the chakras and the stones by color to give them the support in that energetic range. Other times, I'm just drawn to a certain stone, and I'll place them in areas around the body. I may throw together a type of grid using the stone, set in at the shoulders, the solar plexus, the hips, the feet, and the crown. It's really an intuitive experience for me. When it comes to that, it's hard for me to explain. Other times, people will say, I have this particular issue, so I'll pull out a stone that I know supports that issue or those properties, and I'll send it home with them, just for them to keep until the next time I see them, and tell them that carry it with you, or if you're experiencing this, go ahead and hold the stone in your hand and visualize its energy feeding into your hand chakra.
I've also read somewhere, I think someone else told me this, I think it was Kristen Billard, who works with crystals, she was telling us that a lot of crystals are colored a certain way, and those colors are associated with a certain chakra. So, for example, citrine is more of a yellow color. I don't remember what chakra is yellow, but
that's your solar plexus chakra.
Solar plexus. So she was kind of saying like using that particular color on that particular chakra would also help. So that is something people can take a look at if they want. Now I'm putting you on the spot. So we got you this wand. Like I mentioned earlier, she did certify me in Reiki. So a bunch of us, of her students, we got together, we pulled in money, and we bought her this beautiful wand. Is it orange calcite?
Yes. And
have you found that using a crystal versus like more hands-on approach, like using a wand, a crystal wand, versus a hands-on approach, do you feel a difference?
That's an interesting question. I can feel the difference after, yes. It's less energy flowing through me when we utilize the crystals or the stones, because it's the energy of the stones that sets the balance. Like cleaning forks are phenomenal. And so the stones, they do the same thing. They send off this energetic signature, and it helps the body align with that energetic signature. It gives support to it. And it's so wonderfully natural, because the stones always carry that energetic signature and they share it with the person that you're giving it to. And it's almost like, so after me, I'll go through, I've done my energy healing, and I'll go through afterwards and just kind of run my hands to the aura to see where there are spaces that may feel different. And I feel less spaces with the stones, because with the stones, they're attending to certain areas that I'm not focused on. And when I'm using my hands in connection with the stones, my hands, sending Reiki energy, is focusing on the areas that I'm currently thinking about. So it increases and speeds up the healing process or the energetic exchange process.
That is
awesome.
So
what other tools do you use?
Sometimes I'll use pendulums if I'm having difficulty feeling the energy of a chakra to focus on. I'll bring out a pendulum and hold it over that chakra to see which way it's spinning, how fast it's spinning, or how slow. I use oils because oils are wonderful for balancing and relaxing. I use different blends, and they're mostly to help a person reach that calm meditative state. I don't specifically use oils to resolve physical issues.
And some oils have the chakra correspondences as well.
Yes,
I know
they do.
I buy my oils from a place called AromaGregory.com. His name's Gregory, so he called it Aroma Gregory. I always thought that was clever. And when I received my bottles, it actually told me it told me what it was, what it corresponds to. It told me what chakra it corresponded to, what physical ailments it could assist with. And I just thought that was really nifty. So, I mean, Reiki, you can incorporate so much into Reiki, like, you know, tarot readings, using a pendulum.
The ideas are limitless, and they designed tuning forks specifically to align the vibration of the chakras, because of when you hit the tuning fork, that sound is the level that it's aligned with. It's a wonderful way to work too.
I'm sorry.
I'm not on the chat room. There's so many things I'd love to chat with, but the darn thing, I have tried 500,000 times and I cannot get it to let me register or log in.
It just wasn't meant to be.
Nope.
Okay.
It happens, but we have you and your wonderful voice on the air live, so you know we're interacting with all the people in the chat room.
Bless you, Michael. Thank you.
I don't have any callers today. This is new. It's because you said you didn't want to take callers yesterday or the day before. You jinxed it. If you do want a reading from Amy, call in at 646-595-4345. I am going to cut to break right now so Michael can take his pee-pee break or, you know, whatever Michael needs to do. These breaks are all for you, Michael.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
So when we come back, if we don't have any callers, we'll take more questions in the chat room. If you already called in, you can press 1 to just pop into our lineup for questions. But otherwise, hey, we're just going to keep talking Reiki and divination. So we will be
I'm having a wonderful
right
time.
Back. Awesome. You better be, because it's be fun here.
Okay.
Let's get some Michael Jackson going on.
She was more like a beauty queen from
Good old Michael Jackson. Is everybody back?
Everybody's back.
I'm here. Hey, I was wondering if I could share something else about Reiki before we moved on.
Certainly.
What I've discovered about it is it's truly a shift in lifestyle. So, you know, I'd mentioned so hardcore and type A personality with the Marine Corps. Reiki's allowed me to clear out all of those blocks I had mentally and emotionally, to allow myself to reconnect with who I am, to reconnect with my spirit, my soul, my higher self. It's a daily process. I'm not real good at always living it because I lose it like everybody else. I have two kids that push my buttons. But Reiki has allowed me to let go of the things that constantly condemn myself, you know, when I judge myself, when I'm disappointed and I fall short. It's helped me let go of expectations and disappointments. I've always been a very positive person, but a realist. And Reiki has supported that in many ways. And there are five principles with it that talk about living each day at a time. And the principles are, just for today, I will give thanks because I have many blessings. And just today, I am not going to worry. Just today, I am not going to be angry. Just today, I'll do my work honestly. And today, I am going to be kind to every living thing. Again, I'm not always that good at that. But it allows me to, it reminds me, helps me to remember to accept that I may not be perfect. I am a work in progress. And there is a goal that I'm working with. It's just been a wonderful opportunity for me to shift everything from that Southern Baptist, God-fearing, rot, die in hell, roast for all eternity judgment to accepting, being open, and understanding that no one way is the only way. It's made a huge impact on my life, a huge difference, and I'm really happier with who I am and knowing myself internally and learning to listen to my intuition, my spirit, my higher self. That was very difficult for me. All I wanted to say.
It takes a little while. You know, sometimes, you know, it takes many, many years to move yourself into where you actually should be and where you feel comfortable. And, you know, Reiki does. Reiki supports, you know, a tremendous number of things. And what I have found, you know, and this is the one thing I love most about Reiki, is that I get more benefit out of giving Reiki, I think, sometimes than the clients do, because for me it's also very therapeutic for myself doing the work.
Yes, absolutely. I feel better after a session. I've had people ask me, do you feel drained after you do a Reiki session? And I say no, because it's not my energy. I'm just a channel for it. And I actually get a Reiki session while I'm doing it. And I learn stuff. I experience things. I get new symbols. I get new feelings. I meet new guides. I meet new people. It's been such a blessing and opened so much for me. And, I would never pick up a tarot deck or, you know, gotten into any of this if I hadn't started everything with Reiki and slowly let go of those years and years of ingrained indoctrination.
It's a lifestyle, ultimately. It becomes a spiritual path. It becomes a way of living. It becomes part of everything. And that can be true for any spiritual practice, even reading tarot. I know if I never read tarot, I would have probably never met any of you. This show would not exist. You know, I don't know. I might still be a Marine. God. But I don't know what the heck I would be doing. I definitely, even in my spiritual practices, I would not have been led to the spirits, the people, the spiritual traditions that I've been invited to participate in and invited to be a guest at if it wasn't for tarot opening all these doors for me. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, people ask, like, why do you do these things? Why do you practice Reiki? Why read tarot? Why? What does it do for you? And there really is no easy answer. It's really just everything. It's part of life. And that's when you truly begin elevating yourself and finding your higher calling. These things become doorways. They're like gateway drugs.
Yes, Reiki,
now,
the gateway.
Now, we do have a caller on the line. So are you guys ready to take some, do some readings? Just goes quiet.
I'm sorry. I've got a five-year-old asking me to spell something so he can type it into the internet.
Ah, okay.
Sure. Just give me 30 seconds.
Okay. In that 30 seconds, I'm going to give a shout-out to everyone that is on our Blog Talk Radio chat room. If you have not listened to us live, you are missing out because we have a kicking chat room, blogtalkradio.com/divinationradio, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are on the other side of the world, it is 8 a.m. Friday, Tokyo time. So, you know, join us in our chat room. We're pretty awesome. We have good times, meet some new people. We also have a Facebook group. It is facebook.com/groups/divinationradio. So if you have questions about this show or previous shows, feel free to post on there, and we'll either hook you up with someone that knows the answer, or we'll answer you there, or the person that was our guest on the show might even, you know, see it and be able to answer you. So it is a great way to network and see other divination systems and work with other people. And in our chat room today, we've got Alice Janelle, Caitlin Weber, Carrie Ramos, Chalice Diabolic, Guest 1337, Guest 1545, Karen Dalton-Smith, Michael Lenning, Readings by Wen, Stephanie K. Lee, and that's our awesome guests. So without further ado, I'm going to let in our caller. And are you ready, Amy?
As ready as I'm going to be, teacher.
Are you ready, Michael?
I'm always ready.
What are you reading with today, Michael? Let me know.
Whatever spirit hits me with. But more than likely, I'm probably going to use Paris DeBono's Lenormand deck.
What are you reading with today, Amy?
Mystic Tarot.
Mystic Tarot. Okay. I've got Toph Tarot just because he's a good friend of mine. So 910, I'm going to let you through. How are you doing?
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me good?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you?
Awesome, doing wonderful. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What can we do for you today? Do you have a specific question, or would you just like a general reading?
Just hit me with what you got. I'm not sure. I have like five questions in my head. I'm a Libra. Never mind. So just give me whatever.
Okay. Just hit you with whatever we got. Okay. You got 30 seconds of aggressive shuffling. What's your name, by the way?
Wendy.
Wendy. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to pull three cards for you. Okay. So the cards I pulled for you, I got the cards. Did you have any questions about relationships at all?
Actually, yeah, that was one of the things that was going through my head. My problem is I'm very much a hermit. I'm very, very good. You know, I'm a very good speaker, but I don't usually let anybody in, and that obviously hinders relationships and things like that. So I find that I cannot be with anybody for longer than like 5-6 months before going like, okay, I'm sick of you.
Are you not with somebody now?
I am with somebody now, but it's a long distance thing, and the communication is not the best piece. Even though, yes, I'm a great speaker, but she's not.
Because I actually got really happy cards for you. I pulled the Ten of Cups, Two of Cups, and the Prince of Wands. So the Ten of Cups, you know, you're mentioning you're not good at these things, that this is, you know, you're not good at relationships, you know, you're a bit of a hermit. The Ten of Cups actually shows a sense of renewal. When I see the number 10, it shows starting back, going through a journey, going through a path, and then starting all over again with new experiences, with fresh eyes. So I'm seeing that you're actually tackling this relationship with a much different mentality and attitude than you did in the past. And this is what is going to lead this relationship to be successful, because I feel like, yeah, you know, you tell yourself you're this and you're that, but I feel like you're over it. I feel like you're constantly trying to be better, not just for this person, but for yourself, that you've got an open heart and you are wanting to let love and affection into your heart. You're not purposely trying to wall yourself off. Yes, sometimes it happens, and yes, sometimes you slip up, but I am seeing that you've changed so much, but you don't give yourself enough credit for that. The second card I got for you, the Two of Cups, this is a great harmonious card when it comes to relationships. It shows both of you in equal balance, both of you flowing through each other, and both of you nurturing each other as well. There is a lot of emotion going on here, and you probably feel like, you know, hey, you know, there's a lot going on. He doesn't talk to me enough, this, and that. That is because you are emotionally invested in this person, and he is emotionally invested in you as well. So it's not an overthinking. It's more of you not knowing what to do with all these emotions that are filling you up. And instead of letting it overflow, and instead of just enjoying the feeling, you start trying to put words to it. You try putting logic and reason behind it, and it doesn't belong there. You are a very passionate, follow your heart type of lover, and you don't allow yourself to do it. You put these blocks up, and this guy is great for you. I see that he is actually a very this person. It is a guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I just got to make sure. Very tunnel visioned, very stubborn, very, you know, you tell him something and it's just like he just doesn't get it. But he doesn't try to be.
He's an Aries.
He just thinks that. Oh, he's an Aries.
Yeah,
Prince of Wands.
Aries.
There we
and
go.
Whatever,
Amy's an Aries.
And whatever I tell him, it's like it takes a while. It takes like 3-4 days to click. And it's like, okay, you're in your own little world. Like I told you this 4 days ago. Why do I have to yell at you for you to get it?
Well, you got to yell at Aries. Amy, half my life is filled with Aries. I don't get it.
You're lucky.
I always
you're
blessed for this. Blessed all fire in my life. But, yeah, he's just a very tunnel vision type of person. But when he loves with a fire. When he is passionate about someone, that relentless stubbornness is not just holding on to ideas. He feels the same way about holding on to you. So it is a double-edged sword in that sense. But overall, I see this guy is trying. He might not be, you know, the romantic type, and he might not be the, you know, lovey-dovey, you know, send you text messages all day long type of guy. But I feel like you don't need someone like that. You need someone who can keep you on your toes, and you need someone who you can feel this overwhelming sense of, oh my gosh, like I have all these emotions and I don't know what to do with it. This guy is actually good for you. Give him a chance. Hey, if you need to yell at him, because every guy needs to get yelled at here and there, because, you know, that's what we're here for, to yell at our men. Right, Michael?
Right.
There you go, Michael. I'll pass the baton to you.
I get yelled at all the time.
You send him to go potty without the man really having to.
You know, well, I pulled a couple of cards for you as well from the Norman deck. And, you know, it goes along with some of the things that Fiona was saying. First card that came up was, you know, the heart, you know, and it's all about, you know, love. But for me, it's all about more self-love, you know, and loving yourself enough to allow things to progress farther. There's something that you're still holding on to that, you know, for me is telling me that you like things to remain new, spontaneity, you know, within a relationship so that, you know, it doesn't feel like you are falling into like a complacent place. You know, does that make sense? Because it's also showing that you, with the tower, you also love your alone time. You love the idea of being in love. You love the idea of having somebody with you, but only when you want, you know, and it's about finding balance between having somebody in your life as a love and your alone time and your own personal stuff that you want to take care of, and not mixing the two together. And this is where the moon comes in, which was the middle card. The moon is, you know, it's emotions. And you need to find that balance between the emotions of having somebody in your life and spending your time by yourself and mediating. You need that time for yourself so that you can enjoy. I mean, because you, aside from wanting to have somebody in your life, you love that alone time. You love that, you know, being able to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. And it's about finding a happy medium in between so you can have, like, the best of both worlds. Does that make sense for you?
That does. Thank you.
So I went ahead and pulled 3-2, and it's neat to hear what they're telling you because the cards I pulled were the King of Cups, the Sun, and the Two of Pentacles. And before, if you even asked you if you were in a relationship, that King of Cups was out. So, you know, this person in your life has a capacity, like Fiona was saying, of being so loving, so emotional, so supportive, and so much there for you. But in this card, he's very reserved right now. He has control over those emotions. And he's even in a space on this card where he's kind of like an island. He's protecting himself. And it makes it very difficult to communicate with him right now. But the next card is the Sun. And in the Sun, there I have on this card a figure of a woman. Okay, let me set this up for you. The King of Cups is looking directly out from the card. And in the next card is the Sun. And there's a figure of a woman reaching back to the King of Cups for that connection, for that joy, for that communication, for that light, for that happiness, for that time to share in life. And, you know, you can see you really want it, and he kind of dwarfs you in this aspect, but he is there, and he wants to be there. He just seems very reserved right now because he could quite possibly be going through his own concerns, fears, and questions in the relationship. He's not really sure of it either, but the capacity, the potential, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He got divorced about 2 or 3 years ago. We're the same age. We're just turning 32 this year. But he got divorced about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a mess. It was just a really messy situation. And the whole distance thing, I mean, I met him in high school. We met each other back in 2000. But, you know, like, he's very iffy. And he's kind of regressing. He's trying to relive whatever he didn't live during his 20s. He's trying to lift that now. And I'm like, you're a little late, buddy. I mean, the whole hanging out thing, that's got to go, you know?
Well, you know, it makes sense that he's been through some real stormy waters because this is a gray card, and he's just sitting in a gray.
Oh, where'd Amy go?
Somebody.
Amy? I'm sorry. My husband called right then, and it sticks you guys on hold so I can decline this call. I do apologize. I'm here. But, you know, you will bring so much light into his life, and you are a lot of light, and you are just full of, you have so much to offer. Now, with that said, the last card is the Two of Pentacles. You know, and in this it talks about balance. And on this card that I have, the woman is holding the Two Pentacles, and she's turned away from the card. So like Michael was saying, it shows a need for balancing what you want in life, you know, that alone time, turning away from everything, let life go on behind you, and yet when you're ready to turn around and still be able to engage and enjoy and be happy with what you have. There's a lot of uncharted waters out there, and the things that you're experiencing in this relationship, it's not always easy, but by finding the balance between your relationship with him, what you appreciate about him, what you appreciate about you, your space, having your time to recoup, and allowing him to move through this gray time in his life, you guys can blossom together in a most beautiful way. It's just going to take patience, and time and some understanding and being able to do your own things at your own time. That's good for you both. He does need to go do his own things at times, and you do need to go do your own things. Does that make sense to you?
That does. Thank you very much.
Certainly.
The guy is great. Keep him. Oops, still there, Wendy?
I am.
Oh, oh. Okay. Yeah, but, I mean, I think he's great. But
what about
kicks out
now?
Huh?
Is Mercury retrograde?
Oh, boy. No, don't do this to me, Mercury.
I don't know. But then we got a blood moon. We got a blood moon coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. We've got that blood moon coming. Everyone's about to lose their minds.
I'm glad I don't have one to lose.
Yeah, but thank you for calling, Wendy. I hope you got some clarity with your situation.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank
no
you.
No problem. Take care. All right, we have 9 minutes left. So, Amy, would you like to take another caller, or are you done for the day?
I'm game.
You're game? Okay. So,
sure.
954, you are on the air. What's your name?
Hi, this is Mary. Thank you for taking my call. And,
hi, Mary.
I have so
hi.
Many questions. Maybe you could just do a general and see what comes up most important.
Okay. Go for it, Michael. You can start this one off.
Oh, me? Okay. Well, give me a couple of minutes
on the
to
spot.
Shuffle.
You got 9 minutes, so speed read.
Speed read. Okay. Hang on. My cards are not wanting to work too well. Hang on. Alrighty, so I'm just using the Paracibono Lenormand again, and cards are just flying out all over the place while I'm shuffling. So a couple of things that came up in the cards for me is that there are some new ventures. I don't know if you are looking at trying to find a new job or new work or something having to do with trying to bring in more money. But one
yes.
of the cards that was coming up.
I'm looking for some additional income, something part-time, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what kind of work do you do? Is it in the health field?
I have done practically all areas. I'm very versatile. I had a brief in the health area, but I've got my preference, actually.
Okay, good. The reason I ask is that the first card that came up for me was the Lilies card. And the Lilies card for me is about, you know, elderly. It's about older people. It's about being around, you know, people that need assistance for me.
Oh, I've
that's
got
why
a lot
I was
of them
asking.
Around me, yeah, and I've taken okay. care of quite a few.
Okay. Well, you may want to consider looking in and talking about that type of work again, because you may find an opportunity opening up for you, because I had the Lilies card for me, which was the elderly thing. I follow that with the Birds card, which is about communication. So we're talking about things having to do with the elderly people. The next card that came up was the Stars. And for me, the Stars is about people that, you know, expanding things. Many, more than one person. It's, you know, for me, it's about numbers in this particular spread. And it's going to lead you to more finances. The last card that came up was the Clover card, which is a good luck card. It's a card about money coming in. It's a card about good luck and things changing for you. And I think if you start going back into that direction for doing some type of health care or some type of assisting of the elderly people, I think you're going to see more opportunities opening up to help those finances flow.
Okay, I'll keep an open mind on that.
You know, I know it's not your forte or what you, you know, would enjoy particularly doing, but at least for right now, mm-hmm. you know, to get those additional finances for some of the things that you want,
yes.
I think that's going to help do that and alleviate some of the financial issues.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, it does. Do you get a time frame on that?
I don't, but I wasn't looking at it for time frames, but since it ended with the two of the Clover card, which is the number two, I'm going to say within the next couple of months.
Okay. All right. I'll keep an open mind. I believe then it'd be something presented to me, or because I wouldn't be I'm not particularly searching for that, so it must be something coming up and that would be brought to my attention, perhaps.
Let's see what Amy has to say about that. Amy, did you pull cards?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Crap. Okay. You can? All right.
Yes.
I did, and unfortunately I get disconnected, so I really didn't catch what your question was. I'm so sorry, Mary.
She didn't have a question.
Kind of general, and the other gentleman picked up on health, a job with elderly and health skills. But I'm open to whatever you pick up. There's several areas of concern.
Okay, this is... So I pulled the Knight of Pentacles, the Ten of Wands, and the Moon. And this is kind of hard for me to decipher here. So, you know, Fiona, after I speak over this, if you or Michael want to add in on this, please do. So, you know, it just seems like right now you're beginning a journey. You're kind of moving forward, and you've got to focus in on what it is. I'm referring to the Nine of Pentacles, and the Pentacles has to do with material stuff. You know, whether it's a job or a home or family or something to that aspect. But there's some progress going on here. It's not real fast. It's just slow and steady, and it's going, and you can count on it in the area that you may be focusing at that time, work-wise, materialistically-wise. Following that card, I have the Ten of Wands, and the Ten of Wands talks about really taking on more than you can handle. Okay. So this is something
you want to do that next.
it's not a good thing. When you take on too much, other stuff suffers, and it slows down your progress. You can't move forward. You know, it keeps you from achieving the goals that you're putting out for yourself. It takes away from the other things that you really need to focus on. It prevents you from making that forward progress that you have. You know, you've gotten to a point, and then you get mired down with having too much for yourself, and you get stuck, and you find that you have to drop and almost start all over again. And that's where the Moon comes in for this reading, because it's like a cycle. This is something that comes through, and it occurs. And you realize what you're doing, and you try to fix it, and you start moving forward again, and you get going, and it's a steady, slow process, and then you start bringing more things in and more things in and more things in, and you just go, whoa. So what you're really going to want to do is prioritize. You know, get an idea of what is something that you feel you can handle, and put at the top the things that are really important that have to be done, the things that you really need to focus on, and just list them down. And the things that get at the bottom that can wait or aren't that important or are more important to other people than to you and your future and your progress in your life, let those things go so that you can break the cycle and continue your forward momentum and find your focus and feel fulfilled. Does this make sense?
It does, yes.
Okay.
What I've got for you... definitely a little bit different. Do you have like a lot of men in your life, whether romantically or physically? I'm just seeing there's people around you and you're just kind of like tired. Like you're just taking care of everyone and you're just kind of in this lull. I don't know whether it's a boredom.
Well, neighbors and their issues, and have a neighbor who just lost his wife, who was also a neighbor of mine, and I liked her, and he's suffering. And there are several other people who are going through crisis, and I've tried to, kind of help them in any way I can, verbally or, you know, just whatever. It's difficult because there isn't a whole lot I can do, and it is kind of draining at times, and my own life has got to be more stable, and I'm trying to move forward and I can't. So yeah, that's what's going on. It isn't anybody in relationships. I don't have a male relationship or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just men and women. There's difficulty in the area I live in. There's people around me who are struggling.
I just see you stuck in the center and just this outpour of trying to nurture everyone. But the card is, the Four of Cups does say, be careful, because you are becoming dangerously close to the point where you care so much that you almost cannot care anymore, because you literally let these people hold you back. And I'm not saying that as in, you know, don't help these people. It's you focus so much on others, there's almost no more time for you. So therefore, you cannot move forward in your life because of that. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm trying to keep that balance. I'm trying to put myself a little more ahead of it, because I have my own things to take care of. They're important to me.
Alrighty. So thank you for calling in. I hope you got a bit of clarity from the situation.
You're all very good, yes. And I do appreciate your insight tonight. I thank you very much, and I hope it's a good weekend for all of us. And many blessings.
Thank you.
Many blessings,
Carrie.
Well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that is all the time we have today. Thank you very much, Amy and Michael, for joining me. Next week, we've actually got an angel lady coming next week. We got Lisa Ellis. I won't be here next week. Michael will be running the show. I don't know if you're going to bring someone else in to co-host with you. But, I'll be in New York, so I won't be here. But thank you very much for joining, the two of you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks,
Fiona.
I had a great time.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, honey.
All right.